And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, January the 12th, 2019. It is Season 13, Episode 2. I'm Scott.
I'm RJ.
I'm Sarah.
And I'm Matt.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Sorry about the little hiccup there at the beginning of the show. I forgot to turn on the stream.
It's part of our charm.
People could watch on the internet. Luckily, somebody mentioned it in the chat room, and I thought, So, completely forgot to do that.
Have we yet to make... How long have we been doing this?
It doesn't matter, man. You know what? He sent me a message for like a week now telling me to bring the VR, and I totally forgot to do that. She's going to PAX South. Totally forgot she was doing that. I don't even know that you were doing that.
He forgot your name already.
We talked about it on the 500th episode, and I swore to you that I would do it.
That was in January of last year.
And I commit to my promises.
You do. Well, I failed you. Because I am not going to PAX South. I've already canceled everything. Now I just feel horrible.
It's okay.
I feel bad. Let me get this out of the way real quick, and then I can be all. So anyway, I suck, and I'm sorry. I just feel bad about it. I feel so horrible.
No, see, now we're even, because I bailed on you 1 year.
But the condition of my going was not based, and I don't necessarily know that the condition of you going is based on me.
It was.
But you made a promise back in January, so obviously there was a reason. God, I hate this. You've got to do a bunch of stuff.
I'm going to do so much stuff.
do True Dungeon.
I have a ticket already.
Then you need to find this place called Lulu's.
Okay.
Any Uber person's going to know where it's at. But Lulu's...
Is that the cinnamon roll place?
It's the cinnamon roll place.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Yeah. Three-pound cinnamon roll. Which three pounds, you're thinking, I could do
diabetes.
Five. You're thinking, I have...
If you don't have diabetes, you will have to eat this thing.
I could do 5 pounds cinnamon... No. 3 pound cinnamon roll is huge. Buy that on your first day. This way you have something for
breakfast.
A sugar
breakfast
high for the
every
whole weekend.
Single morning. That you're there. I don't. What time are you? When are you getting in? What day are you getting in?
I'm getting in on Friday and coming back on Monday.
Okay. See, I was originally going to go from Wednesday to Monday.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. So yeah, maybe you can bypass the cinnamon roll. It's huge. Now that's okay though, because Lulu's also has what is the circumference, the diameter of a plate. In the size of a chicken fried steak. Is it chicken fried steak? Is that what it's
I
called?
I don't know.
Chicken fried... No, no. What is it called?
Chicken
it's,
fried
chicken?
Steak
no,
fried
no,
steak?
No, 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 no.
What meat product is it?
Right, that's what I gotta figure out what it is.
So they're known for their portions and moderation.
Yeah, right? I'm getting the name right.
See, what you could do for me while you're in San Antonio, you could stop by Lackland, just make fun of all the trainees.
I could.
I would do that.
I'm pretty sure they wouldn't like me being there very much.
Yeah.
You can order their famous 3 pound cinnamon roll online for just $11.99. Huh. It's a 24-hour restaurant. Man, that thing is huge.
Let me get a picture put up in there so I can move it.
I mean, just Google Lulu's cinnamon roll. It's the chicken fried steaks. They have award-winning chicken fried steaks.
Well, fortunately, I'm safe from the chicken fried steak because I do not eat that meat.
Is it chicken or steak?
Steak.
The Texas Ranger Challenge, a 21-ounce chicken fried steak with double sides and two yeast rolls. Eat it in 12 minutes or less, and it's free. Along with a t-shirt that says, I beat the Ranger. Otherwise, it'll cost you $33.
Yeah, no, I'm still yeah. good with my semi-vegetarian self.
Yeah.
Here's the gallery. Those are the cinnamon rolls. Show me this big, giant country fried steak. Anyway, I don't see it. It's huge. It was huge. Anyway, so there's that. Otherwise, you know, just hit the Riverwalk and enjoy the nice places to eat along the Riverwalk.
Have you been to San Antonio before?
She has.
I've been to PAX before, as a matter of fact.
She was at PAX San Antonio.
I was at the first PAX.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first PAX South. So, but yeah, it's, I hate I'm not going to be there. I really hate it. Did you ever see that installation at the church that's down from the cathedral, actually? It's down from the convention center where Friday and Saturday nights they do this art projection on the front of it.
No.
Check that out.
Awesome. Although the last time I was in San Antonio, I did get to see some of the original puppets from Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, neat.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Yeah. Check out that. Also, step inside the cathedral if you want. It's unreal. It's amazing. It's the first time I'd been into something like that, and it was like, whoa.
A cathedral?
Something like that, yes. I had been in cathedrals before. I've been in when I was in Washington, D.C., I was on a tour, of course, and I'd been in cathedrals there.
Did you go to the National Cathedral there?
I'm sure I did. It was something. I don't remember. This was in my 10th grade year of high school. I don't remember which cathedral it was, but...
The National Cathedral at D.C. has a grotesque of Darth Vader on the outside.
Right, that it does. But I don't remember that. But walking into this one was some kind of weird, solemn experience where it's just like everything was just quiet. And it was, ooh, this. I wasn't going in a tour function, you know. There were people there doing their thing. And it was really, and to know how old this cathedral would be. It's just was, you know, it was one of those situations. I believe at the front entrance they have some of the remains in a casket of some of the more recognizable names from the Alamo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Buried there, or actually just have it right there on display. Mm-hmm. So anyway, regardless of whether you go in or not, check out that art installation they do. It's this whole projection thing that transforms the front. I mean, it's still the front of the church, but the way the light works, it makes it look like it's completely different. And they go through the entire history of San Antonio.
Oh, awesome.
In I want to say musical form. There's no narration or really anything that comes across saying, this year, this is when this happened. And this
music
is when this.
Theater.
Yeah, it's just this thing. Lasts about 15 minutes. Give or take. It's pretty fascinating. Anyway, I'm talking to you like you've never been before. I know you have. I just hate the fact that I'm not going now, and that I didn't get in touch with you soon enough to let you know that I wasn't. And that we never talked. Outside of talking to you in the chat room, and then the few times I was like, hey, can you make it down this weekend?
Yeah,
oh, I can't. That sort of thing.
I have been MIA for a long time.
Yeah, we haven't really talked about like, hey, where are you staying at PAX? What are you doing at PAX? We never, that never came up.
Yep.
And I could have told you, it's not going to happen.
Like I said, it's okay. I know other people that are going.
And I'm grateful that you do. And I'm glad that you know other people that are going, regardless. But so you're going to have to come back week after next to tell us all about it. I've already told you to sign up for True Dungeon, which you've
yes,
already done.
I have already done.
So you're going to have to come back and tell us all about your experience at PAX. Yeah, I feel really bad. I wrote the PAX media people, and I thanked them for approving me to go for a press badge and apologized that I could not go, you know?
Yeah.
They probably don't care. why is this guy apologizing for not, does he expect a refund? And it's nothing like that. I just feel like you RSVP'd, you should tell him if you can't make it.
It's too bad I can't just take your press badge.
I don't have it.
Yeah, no,
you
I
You have
know.
To pick it up at will call, and you have to have a driver's ID and all this other stuff. I do have two badges that I can't use now, just regular three-day passes.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about selling those, but PAX South is not something that is in high demand.
Yeah.
And so people could still get three-day passes they could buy individual day passes and they're fine. So there was really no benefit. There's no way I was going to be able to unload these. So I hate that I'm not going. Can I get you to promise to go to Seattle? I know Dragon Con is at that time, but you've never been, have you?
I have not been to PAX Prime.
And not even that. You've never been to Seattle.
I have technically spent the night in Seattle, but I have not been to Seattle, if that distinction makes sense.
Seattle's fantastic. Let me turn your mic back on, Matt. Sorry. We have a phone call?
Cliff.
Yes. Cliff. Hey, you're on in-game chat. Who's this? Cliff?
Cliff. The young lady that's on the San Antonio.
Yeah.
A couple things I could recommend. One is the Harriet McNee Museum, which is probably the best privately funded museum I've ever been in. When I went, they had Picasso lithographs, Grantwood paintings, and illuminated triptychs.
Yes, I have been, actually. They had a special Halloween exhibit when I was there, and that's where I saw the Nightmare Before Christmas pieces, which was awesome.
Great museum, isn't it?
Yes, it's amazing. And the house itself is just beautiful.
Oh, yeah. And another thing is, I don't know if you're going to be driving or taking buses, but the bus system in San Antonio, I was amazed when I was out there.
Okay.
I mean, you can get on a bus on one side of town. Now, you have to go to Center City, and then you'll get a transfer, but then you can go all the way on the other side of town.
Okay, great.
And also, if you get a chance, go out by the Paste Salsa Factory.
Okay.
Because I was driving along, and all of a sudden, I started, drooling. Like, what's going on? Is something wrong with me? And I was about a mile from the Paste Salsa Factory, and the whole area just smells like salsa.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
All righty, and you just have a wonderful, wonderful and safe trip.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks for calling, man. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Take care now.
I'd figure the Pace Salsa Factory would be in New York City.
No, yeah, I remember those commercials
now. New York City.
Yeah. What was the commercial line? It says, and it's made in San Antonio, where folks know about salsa. And they said, this stuff's made in New York City. And
I didn't know. I've never seen that. There's a Dave and Buster's there.
Woo.
There is. We have one of those now, too.
The Alamo is not... The Alamo... like, when I went, the Alamo...
Not what I was expecting.
Well,
I was expecting, sort of, out in the middle of nowhere, blah, blah, not like it's in the middle of, downtown with skyscrapers.
Not necessarily the location, just the fact that it is...
Small.
Absolutely nothing, really. Yeah. I mean, it's something to witness and see and be like, okay, there it is.
Yep.
But that's it, you know?
Yeah.
It is the walkthrough is just nothing inside. The grounds outside, the big oak trees and everything else, those are real cool. The squirrels that'll just come right up to you and they don't care.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. There's a koi pond thing.
The wildlife is bold out there in San Antonio.
Yeah. Yes.
It is. I mean, like I said, what I remember most about my trip to San Antonio on the Riverwalk was how the birds would dive bomb. It was like something straight out of an Alfred Hitchcock movie. The way they will dive bomb food on the table and they will come straight forward whether you're sitting there or not.
They don't care.
Have a French fry in your hand. It's like, nah.
Get used to. Then that bird came back. Now it's gone.
The umbrellas have a slant to them that goes towards the river.
Yep.
And there's a reason for that. Rain, number one.
That's not the primary reason.
Yes.
Bird poop, number two.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, welcome to the show. By the way, if you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228.
We can talk about anything.
Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at InGameChat as well as on Facebook. You can email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. We are streaming right now on Twitch. You can go to twitch.tv, type in InGameChat, you'll be able to find us. You can watch the show live while we do it and participate in the chat room while we broadcast as well. Matt, I'm sorry I forgot your VR. Sarah, I'm sorry I'm not going to PAX.
It's okay.
So, RJ, I've done you no wrong.
Good man.
We see who he really likes.
You got something from me earlier this year, didn't you?
You did. Yes.
I'm starting to feel okay. I'm starting to feel a little bit better.
Yeah, no, you're fine.
Yeah.
Totally fine.
Yeah. Starting to feel better about that. I remember that because I thought, is that the last time she was here?
I think it may have
What?
Been.
I did that and you never came back? Wow.
See, don't you feel better now?
Go dig up. used me and then she left. How have you enjoyed that, by the way?
I've
you
had
played
a lot of
it at all,
well, I've played Horizon Zero Dawn.
How is it? I haven't played it yet.
I love it. I love it.
Why have you not played it yet? I mean,
because I don't have it. That's why.
My God, it's like $9 for the whole thing.
Yeah,
really?
Or has been over Black Friday and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
$9 will get you all of it, all like of it. The whole Game of the Year edition crap that they do.
Apparently, I'm giving it the Detroit Become Human treatment. I bought that thing and it's still sitting in my sitting on my
hey,
table.
Yeah, I bought it for $20 and I still haven't played it. It's still sitting on my hard drive.
Yes,
$20 the full version.
Tara, you need to join the club and buy Detroit Beyond Human and just don't play it.
No.
Just like the rest of us.
Have you picked up any other games on the system?
Not on the PS4 yet. I have not had a chance to play a ton because I've mostly been doing tabletop gaming lately.
Oh, okay.
So, a lot of my game time has been going toward D&D.
Yay. Have you ever done the True Dungeon thing before?
No, I'm so excited.
Oh, God, you're going to love it. You're going
to
love it.
Do you get to choose what class of character you play?
Look, when I was there, I did like a demo thing.
Uh-huh.
So they kind of gave you a rush through. Like, here's a really quick run through of everything with a group who's not exactly down to do all this. So the group I was in, we didn't get the full treatment, you know? It's like, here's the quick and dirty, man. Here, characters, pass them around. Go ahead. It wasn't like, here, you pick your own. Just take one past the group, and then boom, boom, boom.
So are you going to do the full thing or just a demo?
Doing the full thing. I have a full ticket. I think it's actually even the day that I'm going to be in costume, too, which will be fun for me.
Is there it's a two-hour experience? Or is there a time frame?
I haven't done it before.
Yeah.
Okay.
There is a time frame. They've got three different experiences to do this year, and... I don't remember. They may have had those again. I stumbled upon it last year.
Because I didn't know if it was like an escape room where they give you an hour to escape, or if it's you have an hour to do this.
Yeah, right. they have different times to run you through the different experiences. So you do have to get out eventually.
But normally, the people who are signing up for these things, this is what they do. You know, they understand the mechanics and how D&D works and how it should work, I guess, in this sort of live-action platform type thing. But you really go in there for the amazing set design and things that they've done.
It's
theatrics that you get to be involved in. I remember the big dragon head came out behind a curtain.
Oh, awesome.
I mean, huge, big thing.
I want to do it and just, bring a lute along and just start,
We had a bard. Yeah, bard. He was pretty good for just doing a demo run. But, they had puzzle boxes for the rogue to work on.
Cool.
And things were very cryptic. There would be somebody in each room, and he would tell you, hi, I'm whatever character's name, and I'm stuck here, and I can't get out unless you help me with this. And then he would throw out the riddle, and then you'd have to figure it out, and blah, blah, blah.
Great. Fetch quest.
Yeah. But it was pretty fascinating. So I think you're going to have a great time.
I'm very excited. I have some other friends that got to go through. I don't know if all the scenarios are based around Patrick Rothfuss's books or just a few of them, but she got to go through with Patrick Rothfuss.
Oh, nice.
Really?
That was super awesome.
Very nice.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, we're coming up on our first break here. We haven't even talked about the games that we played because I've spent too much time apologizing and feeling horrible. When we come back, we will go over games that we played, and then we're going to hit some of this news that we've got. Most of it broke late this week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Specifically talking about Activision and Bungie and also whatever's going on with Randy Pitchford.
Yeah.
Whew. Gearbox's Randy Pitchford is having an interesting situation here.
Are they being a little quiet about it or?
No, they're not being quiet about it. It seems like it's a back and forth.
Yeah.
I'm suing you for this, here's my outrageous claims. Oh, yeah? Well, we're going to sue you for this, and here's our outrageous claims. So it's basically
Yay.
Just who can top whatever. We'll talk about it here in a bit.
Yeah.
Coming up in just a little while. Going to go to the break here. There is a theme this week, but I think it'll be easy to catch on. I really think it will. I say that, and I could be wrong.
Games I haven't played.
Maybe, possibly. Some of the, there's a good bit in here that I haven't played. This one that's coming up first, I have. But and I actually really, really enjoyed it at the time. Well, parts
you,
of it.
You wouldn't enjoy it now?
No, I would not enjoy it now. If there's, you know what, if emulated on the PC, maybe actually, now that I think about it. It comes from the Super NES days.
Okay.
And it is the main theme for Mario Paint.
Oh.
Yeah. Huh. Which, again, I wouldn't enjoy it today, but if you emulated it on the PC to where I could use just my PC controls and my mouse and everything to draw and to... Basically, what I remember the most about this game was the music creation.
Yes. I think that's what most people remember about
yes.
it.
Yes. It was the music stuff you could do with that, which was kind of really cool, but I never got the hang of it.
And they kind of did a little bit of that music creation in the Mario Game Boy, the DX, because I remember I had that, and I created some songs.
Oh, that's cool.
And that.
So anyway, we like I said, we are on a theme, and this is your first game, Mario Paint, from the SNES days, and we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here. Does anybody know? I mean, it's goes back a ways.
Sounds like NES days.
It's NES, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it goes back a good ways.
Battletoads, I don't know.
A little too cheery for Battletoads.
Yeah.
Not enough edge. I mean, come on, Battletoads?
Yeah,
Their names were like Zit, Puke and Rash or something.
This is the Pimple.
Zit, Pimple and Rash.
Pimple, Rash and Zits.
See, if this was Battletoads, this would be like the salt in the wound when you die. Just to rub it in. Nah, I have no idea.
Gyromite.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that does go back a ways.
It goes back a good way. So, anyway, welcome back to the show. Let's talk to Chris real quick. We'll go over the games that we played. Hey, Chris.
What's going on? You were talking about Mario Paint on the emulator?
Yeah.
Where you're, you don't have the physical console, do you?
SNES?
Yeah, the original SNES.
Yeah, I do. I still have my SNES.
Oh, well, that one uses a mouse, and they made a mouse for for that game, and you actually have to use the mouse for it.
Right, which is why I'm thinking being an emulator on my PC should be no problem, since it comes with a mouse.
Yeah, you might, yeah.
What about on the Switch where you could, like, use your waggle stick?
Probably doesn't translate it. Well, no, you can't, because...
No, not for that one. Especially that little mini game where you're swatting the little flies or something with the... you definitely have to have a mouse.
Yeah. No, I remember playing it. I remember specifically wanting it so I could make music, and then I got it and
didn't make much music.
Couldn't figure out how to really be good at making music. But you can go on YouTube now and find people who have made some insane compositions with that tool. So, what's been going on with you? Anything new?
Not much. Just playing more of Just Cause 3, having a blast blowing.
Just Cause 3 or 4?
Well, I realized I hadn't beaten 3 yet, so I decided to go through 3 and finish it up and do all that and then jump back into 4 again.
I mean, 3 is, I mean, Just Cause, the series.
Just, yeah.
Once you get past once you get past Just Cause 1 and get into 2, 3, and 4, it's
the same.
It's arbitrary title with a number. No. I mean, it's what the same thing. Yeah.
What I hear about that series more than anything else is how much fun people have in Just Cause 3.
Yeah,
all the random chaos you can do in there.
Yeah, all the physics and how things interact.
It's physics sandbox, the game.
Rocket Cows, especially, keeps coming up.
Yeah.
It just looks really, really good because there are physics sandboxes that you can play with that are barren and boring and you know, here, pick what you want to fall and then to break or whatever. That's fine. Mm-hmm. What you really want, though, is what Just Cause does and, like, gives you a playground to have
destruction.
To have that fun with. So,
and then if you want to tie people up in the air and then stretch them out and then put them in a jumping jack position, I mean, I've seen people do that, and they attach one arm to the cable and then attach them to the top of a roof and then zip them up there and then attach their other arm and then their butt legs and then stretch them out like a torture device.
Yeah.
Mm. Yep.
And sometimes, you know, they'll still be alive and wiggling and asking you to let them down.
yelling for mercy or whatever.
Yeah, I like putting the boost things on cars and just watching them spin out and just go flying.
Lethal Migraine says Just Cause 3 is now free in the Game Pass. If you've got the Microsoft Game Pass, you can play it on Xbox One. And maybe PC? No, probably not PC. But, yeah, it is free now. So,
yeah. Yeah, I'm glad I picked it up whenever it did come back earlier on the PlayStation Plus. So that's when I got my copy of it, when it came for free too. But yeah, that was my first one playing into that, and I think, oh, this looks pretty cool, and oh yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. I'm holding out for Just Cause 4 to
price drop.
Oh, easily, yeah, because it
massive.
Will, and it will fast.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's all I'm really waiting for. Oh, he says Ark was added to the Game Pass as well.
Edith Finch is now free on Epic.
Free on Epic Games, yeah.
Oh, did y'all hear about that stuff about the new Atlus game, about what it really was?
No.
Mm-mm. It's basically a reskin of Ark.
Okay.
Well, that's what I figured it was.
I think I saw a news story about that. Someone didn't like the fact that they seemed just like a lazy, half-hearted effort to just throw it out there as quick as you could, so they just reskinned something existing and threw it out there for
consumption. I liked the potential that they showed us with it. It looked really, really cool. But I got some people who are playing it. I probably should, you know, find out from them if it's actually any good. But so far, everything that I've heard is that it's not very good.
I've seen a few things, and I found somebody that streamed and played on Sea of Thieves and was messing around with people on PC. He got into it and played with it. He was cussing left and right. And going on and on, and he kept dying, and then it spawned him and a whole group of people right in the middle of the sea where they couldn't get around, and they were just swimming, waiting for the sharks to eat them.
Yeah,
wow.
Well, Chris, we appreciate you calling, man.
All right, y'all have a good afternoon.
Good hearing from you. Take you too. Going to the games that we have played, I have not touched Ark or Atlus. I have touched. I played Spider-Man. I got back into there.
Yay!
Did more of that. Unlocked the. What scene was it? Oh, it's this. I did the part where the police officer is getting honored from the mayor, and then the whole thing goes nuts.
Haywire.
Miles is dad.
You had to actually play as Miles for a little bit, which was annoying. And then it unlocked the some more things to do around the city, which is the I don't know if they're called challenge rooms. But it's the ones where you take out the guys on the roof, and then you go inside the building, and you do the take out the guys inside the building. So whatever those are called,
I forget what they're called. But they're like the crime factions in the city, like
the
Fisk's
the
folks
demons.
In the construction thing, the demons folks in the various parts of the city.
Yeah, I don't know where I'm at in the storyline in that, as far as that's concerned, but probably I don't feel confident enough to say that I'm any further along than made any kind of decent progress.
Yeah.
So, what else did I play? Other than that, I put my time in with Assassin's Creed Odyssey, just kind of moving the clock along until I get the free one coming out, I think, on Tuesday is when the Project Stream thing ends. And then I think they said within a week to 2 weeks after that.
It'll just be in your...
you would get notification of getting the game. If you got an hour's worth of time in.
Yeah, I want to put some more time in for that, just to make sure, pad it out a little.
Yeah, I know. Same here.
I mean, I already have it on the console. But.
Oh, wow. Fubel says that I'm only 20% in, if most in the story. You know, that's odd, though, because it says I'm 50% done.
Maybe just throwing in the a little side missions you've done.
I mean, I've done all this. Every time side missions.
Story is different than, you know, like story percentage, I'm sure, is different than like complete
percentage. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
Because... every time something would come up that was like a side thing,
you just go off and
I go off and make sure I'd clear the map of all that stuff first, and then get back to the story.
Yeah.
So yeah. So I did that, and then of course I played Destiny. We'll talk about that. But I finished up the new forge. I finished up the new quest to get the new exotic weapon from doing the forge, and then there was another puzzle after that I finished up as well. I am, essentially, I'm done with the Black Armory, the new expansion that released back in November, I think. Essentially, I'm done with that. But I'm chasing right now an exotic that just randomly drops when you're completing forges. It's a pretty good weapon, but it just got to randomly drop for me.
What type of weapon is this?
It's a fusion rifle. It's like a steroid sleeper simulant.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, I'm not a big fan of fusion rifles, so I just ignore
them. I'm a big fan of weapons that deal massive amounts of damage for boss encounters.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one that would do it. The sniper rifle that I got looks like a sword. Like, the design of it looks like a sword.
Mm-hmm.
The outline of it, but it's a sniper rifle. Mm-hmm. The perk on it is that it takes all the magazines, or all the ammo that's in the magazine, combines it into one powerful shot. You have to hold the reload button down, and it does that. The problem is that you burn through your ammo very
fast.
Yeah,
I was about to say, but you don't get much ammo for a sniper rifle anyway. So
you can one-shot some yellow bar enemies with that when it's done like that.
Yeah,
I was taking off massive amounts of
ammo loss and then miss.
But it's
that would be me.
It sits in the primary slot. It sits in the primary slot, slot, but it uses special ammo. So it uses green ammo, sits in the primary slot, which means I've still got a heavy, which is still can be powerful.
Yeah, but you still don't get a boost in the amount of ammo you carry, do you? It's a sniper rifle.
It's a sniper rifle, but there are perks on some of your armor that will give you a little bit more. I can hold 16 shots.
16 bullets or 16 super shots?
No, 16 bullets. Drop that down to, what, 4?
Probably.
It holds 4 in the magazine.
Okay, so yeah.
So 4 very powerful shots. Which if you can get those off with a sniper rifle. Again, sniper rifle is not something that you're going to be involved with a lot of enemies with. You're going to be sitting back using this gun.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting back far away, taking out whatever you need to take out with.
I'd do that with a scout rifle, yeah.
Yeah. It's also exotic, which means that if I have an exotic on any other part of my weapons, that I can't use it. So you got to really think ahead before you use it, because otherwise you're going to lose ammo with when you're doing some of the switching.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ever see it coming in handy, with the exception of really major boss encounter type stuff. You know, not in everyday use.
That's the only reason I'd see using it.
Not in everyday use.
So it's something to get in and stick in your storage except for when you need it.
Yeah. That's the way most exotics work, honestly, with the exception of Thunderlord, which is a fantastic weapon that I keep on me at all times. But
For me, it was Hardlight. Any polarity I needed at any given moment, that's what I always kept with me. In the early state, in the other parts. I don't know how it is now in your 600 level.
600. My 650 level?
The last time I played, I was still at 350, so that was the last time I played it. But Hardlight did a lot of good work for me.
Yeah. Well, that's what I've done.
Mm-hmm.
RJ, what about you?
I was going to play a little bit more of Grand Theft Auto Online, but there were no double XP or cash rewards out there. It was last week, but not this week, so I haven't been playing that too much. Played a little bit more of Mortal Kombat in anticipation for Mortal Kombat 11 and the reveal they're going to do, I think, on the 17th this month on their live stream. Also played a little bit more of Street Fighter V because I got another ESL online tournament coming up this Monday, and I signed up for that, so I'm putting a little more practice in with that. But more recently, I started downloading this Friday night because I couldn't get to it until this morning. The demos for Dead or Alive 6 and the one shot for Resident Evil 2.
I need to get that one shot demo. Yeah.
And I was able to play both of those games this morning. Actually.
How was the Resident Evil?
It is very good.
It's 30 minutes long.
Very good. Yeah. And you only got 30 minutes, and that 30 minutes goes quick.
I bet.
It went so fast.
Let me ask you, when you play it for 30 minutes, can you, and it's done with you, can you start it up again and start from the beginning and play another 30 minutes, or is that done?
It when I tried to start it up again, it went back to the little movie they gave me for the promo movie they gave and showed the extra characters that they were going to.
So you couldn't play it again, huh?
I couldn't play it again.
Oh,
so
wow.
That's what they mean by one shot. You only one have shot. One time to play.
Yeah, one shot. I got the first I got was the point where I picked up the shotgun in the weapons locker room,
right.
And then it just said, "Thank you for playing. Here's a little promo."
Did you ever play Resident Evil 2?
Yeah, I played Resident Evil 2. I played the whole series backwards, okay. But I can't remember. Yeah. But I can't remember that, when my experience with Resident Evil 2, because the first Resident Evil I played was Code Veronica.
That's a good one.
Then I found 3.
Yeah, that's all right.
And then I got 2 later on on PlayStation. PlayStation, what was it, 2 or 1 or...
I don't know. I remember they had them on Dreamcast. On GameCube.
It was on, Dreamcast. Yeah. Dreamcast, Code Veronica was the first one I played.
Yeah.
And then I found 1 through Capcom's Warehouse phone order and got that in for the Saturn. And then started playing that. And it went down from there. So I couldn't really remember my experience with 2 before I started playing this one. But for what I experienced, man, it was really fun, really good, and really nerve-wracking more than anything else. The shooting mechanic is the thing I had to get used to because I didn't realize until late in the game that if you stood still and aimed your shot, let the reticle shrink down, you got a more powerful shot. It's kind of like it was in like that old Dreamcast game, Zombie Revenge. How you see people like wasting bullets on enemies
because the reticle is really
spread.
Big.
Yeah, so you had to let the reticle shrink down to red and then fire the shot, and it would be give you the most damage. And that's the same thing applied here. The thing is, the reticle wouldn't shrink while I'm stepping back because the way the zombies attack you, they move pretty fast, and you want to step back to keep distance. So, but it rewarded you if you were staying still, the reticle would shrink for you, and you would get a real powerful shot. So instead of using 7 to 8 rounds, I would take them out in like 3.
All right.
So I wouldn't have to waste as much ammo. Problem is,
you're a sitting target.
Well, yeah, you're a sitting target, and they get up a lot. So you're going to have to do a lot of shoot them just to knock them down and then get out of dodge.
Because I hear it's not a remake. It's more of a reimagining of sorts. That's why they didn't call it the Resident Evil 2 remake.
I can see that because a lot more elements you have to go through and look at. I think they took elements from 7 and threw it in there.
Yes.
Like because I never played 7. I just watched streams
7
of
was
it.
Good.
But the item management system, things like that, having to go through that. The knife is it wears down over time, so you can't like rely on that thing for throughout the entire game. Yeah, that's gonna be a problem. Hopefully I can find another one. Hopefully you can find another one throughout the game, but the one Marvin Brandon gives you, that's it. The description tells you that it will wear down over time, so you can't abuse it. And the only time it really comes to handy is when a zombie grabs hold of you and you stick it in them, but in order to get the knife back, you have to kill the zombie, then you can walk over and get it back. But I had a really good time with that.
All right.
Makes me I'm anticipating picking that up and playing it.
Yeah. Sarah, what have you played
since last you were on?
Right.
I did play some Destiny, although I haven't played that in a while. The most recent thing I've been playing is actually Strange Brigade.
Oh, yeah. I'm curious about that.
That's
from
the Riot Games. I think it's Riot Games?
Rebellion.
Rebellion. No, it's Rebellion. The guys that did the Sniper Elite series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is super fun.
It seems cheesy.
It is so cheesy.
All right.
You have it's based off of like 1930s pulp adventures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Complete with a voiceover talking about, you know, our intrepid heroes and whatnot. So it's not incredibly complex, but it's really fun.
And that's, were you playing that on PS4?
I am playing that on the Xbox One.
Is it a free thing, or did you pick it up?
It's on Game Pass right now.
Right, okay.
So.
Gotcha.
And then I've been playing some more Vermintide. They came out with Vermintide 2 last year.
Mm-hmm.
So it messes with my motion sickness a little bit, so I can only play that one for about 30 minutes at a time, but it's still really fun.
All right. Matt, what about you?
Doing some more Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Right.
I beat three of the legendary creatures. The Minotaur, the Cyclops, and Medusa. So I've been going through that, enjoying that a lot. I'm getting close to level 70. So I think that'll be close to like level max. Other than that, the thing I've been doing is I got back into Elite Dangerous now that Chapter 4 is out.
Yeah, and again, I'm sorry I didn't bring you your VR.
That's right.
Because I know there is a way now that you can...
Thanks to Nate. Nate, you're my hero. Yeah. I'm high-fiving you.
You can set up a PSVR to play through your PC.
Yes.
So you can play the PC games.
Play Steam
in
games.
In VR.
Yeah, Elite Dangerous and stuff. Yeah, they have the new Chapter 4 out, and, you know, getting Kevin back in on it. And I wanted, you know, just before he got back in, I was like, just seeing everything that was new, looking at the new ship. And when I saw the new ship, I went ahead and sold one of my old Explorers and bought the new ship and maxing that out. And yeah, I'm enjoying it. It's such a pretty game.
Yeah, I'd really like to set up a room in my house for VR, specifically for VR, not necessarily PlayStation VR. But for the PC VR stuff.
Yeah.
Just so I can have that whole room experience type thing and really enjoy that. The VR, there was some VR I tested at, was it PAX Prime a year ago? Not 2018, but 2017. I demoed some stuff. And it was on Microsoft's VR system.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that was called, I can't remember. But... I played it, and it was very much like a VR The Room situation. Mm-hmm. A lot of puzzle boxes to mess with in VR space. I saw that recently on Steam, and I said, oh, it released. Yeah, it released back in 2017, and I didn't realize that. So I added it to my wish list. But now to know that it's there, it's like, okay, this is my VR list of things to play is adding up. And
'cause Friday I have Ace Combat.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they have three, like a little like mini campaign in a way, three missions. And I was reading it.
Really? You can't play the whole thing in VR?
The whole thing's not VR.
Oh, man.
It's just a little mini campaign.
I thought you had the option that you could play the whole thing in VR.
No. But, you know, hey, I'll take what I can. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Some of the people were talking about like motion sickness in that game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I think I can handle it. Who knows? Maybe next Saturday, next show, I'll come in saying, yeah, I puked so much last night.
I was about to say, famous last words, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I could handle it. Mm. How many times you heard that before?
Yeah, we'll find out.
Yeah, I'll be curious how that works out for you.
Because I also want, you know, I picked up, it was on sale, the Wipeout collection from...
The PlayStation stuff.
PlayStation.
Yeah, I know what you're talking
about.
And that's
VR capable. And so, you know, I remember Wipeout back in the day, and I've, you know, played, you know, here and there throughout the different iterations. And so having a, you know, racing game in VR should be interesting. And, you know, I still have Resident Evil 7. Even though I've beaten it, I didn't play through the whole thing in VR, so I could do that as well. So I have some stuff. But mostly, you know, now that I know that I could do Elite, you know.
Yeah. AC Wraith says he's been clearing out content in Shadow of War before he hits the final missions. Another game that I've got that I picked up on a price error, but haven't played at all.
Same here.
Yeah.
I heard that it's not as good as the first.
I thought it would be. I haven't heard anything like that, but I thought it would be.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, like, try it for yourself, right?
I just was, I was happy, I was excited about the fact of the, oh, what is it called? That system.
The, Revenge system?
No, it's not called Revenge system, but yeah, you're, no, I know what you're thinking of.
Oh, gosh.
They'll pop it, somebody's going to pop it up in the chat room and let me know. It's not the infamous system. No. Nemesis.
Nemesis, yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
You know, the thing from Resident Evil, what, 3?
3.
Yeah. Nemesis. but yeah, the Nemesis system was a fantastic thing that I thought other studios, other developers, or somebody would pick up on and try and continue that through other game systems, and they...
AC Odyssey, kind of.
What, with the mercenary things?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that. I ran into my first mercenary at level 1.
They've added new mercenaries, which is good, because I was at the top of the mercenary
list. Doesn't matter,
list.
I can't do anything to the to the level 5 that's walking around. I thought I could do a stealth assassin, right?
Yeah.
Because you're an assassin. You should be able to, you know, you got things to where an assassin is going to take out the other guy. And normally, anybody else that you sneak up on from behind, you can silent kill, right? No, not this guy. It's silent attack. Mm-hmm. And so you do an attack, but dude's like, who's there? You know, and you take off just a minuscule amount of his
and
health.
And he laughs and smashes
your
head.
What type of attack are we talking about here?
Well, one where I was hiding from him as he walked by, and then, you know, he gets close enough to where it prompts you to make the attack, but it's not,
should
you know,
a kill.
It's not stealth.
There's a skill
or
tree.
Assassinate or whatever.
Yeah, there's a skill tree where you could actually do a more powerful silent, you know, stealth attack.
No, it should be
it should be
death.
A kill.
Yeah.
To me, totally unaware of you behind him, and you're an assassin. What, I mean, what, did you have any what weapon did you have?
I don't remember. I had a sword.
Okay, something sharp and pointy. But, and it didn't work. That. Well.
I'd rather it work that way, and it should work that way, but that's open. But, you know, whatever. Yeah. That's fine. Yeah, the Lethal Migraine wants to know why that Hitman remasters are $60. That's
because
ridiculous.
IO hates us.
I saw where.
Oh, what?
Yeah, the remastered Blood Money and Absolution.
Yeah.
$60 for that. Yeah,
kind of,
no.
It's kind of annoying. They're both packed together, so it's like 30 for each game, which is still like
$30 for those games. Those are old games.
It should be $30, 15 for each. You know,
it should
something
be free
like that.
For if you already own them.
No, see now you're.
Well, look, just give it time.
Yeah.
If people are not happy with the price, they're
I'll
not gonna
put
pick it
up, on
so.
My wish list, and once it drops to a reasonable amount, but no, I saw that and I was just not pleased.
Just give it time, man. I've been doing that a lot lately. I've been looking at a game, and I'm like, I don't want to do what I did with Detroit Become Human. I mean, just wait a minute. Wait a minute until the price will come down. Besides, I got enough on my backlog to pick up and play while I'm waiting.
I have an entire cabinet full of games I haven't played yet.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go to a break here, and then when we come back, we'll hit the news of the week and all that stuff. Just kind of, you know, rehash all that again. I know. You've obviously heard about all the stuff, but yeah, we'll go into it a little bit more coming up next. I think, what else do I have in here for us? I got some more stuff. Not much. I mean, again, two big things happened this week, and it was the Activision-Bungie split, and it was the Gearbox stuff going on. Mm. I don't know how deep I want to go into that Gearbox situation.
Yeah.
Well, it gets a little witch hunty.
Yeah,
it does.
When you get in there. What was that? I was listening to Lore. I don't know if you've listened to that podcast before, but I was listening to Lore on the way in, and it was talking about, Christian Shaw, I think is his name. If I'm right, 1860-something. Witch
before
tribes.
Before my time.
in Scotland.
Okay.
And he was talking about... back then, you could call somebody a thief, or you could lay whatever claims at somebody's feet, and at most, you would hurt their feelings. But if you accuse someone of being a witch, it changed things. Because that was worse. That was worse than anything else. You could call them all these things, but if you called them a witch, it suddenly became, well, it's what it turned into. It became a witch hunt. Mm-hmm. And I started thinking about this situation with Randy Pitchford and that little that little thing that's buried within the article mm-hmm. that yeah. is not in the lead of the article, but it's in, buried in the article about the accusation. And I thought, yeah, that's the point of that's where you call somebody a witch these days.
Yeah.
Is you lay that at their feet, and all of a sudden, reputation gone.
Yeah,
the accusation alone
without any kind
no,
of
no
yeah,
proof needed.
Exactly.
Just the accusation alone is all
so,
we need.
We'll get into that and maybe some more coming up in just a minute. Going back to the, I think this is from the SNES days. Mm. It's a game called Battle Clash.
So far, my theory holds.
Yeah, right. We'll be back with more of In Game Chat after this. And welcome back to In Game Chats.
Is this not Batman?
It's not Batman. You can't prove that, actually. This is a game. This is NES.
Yeah.
It's a game called Bad Street Brawler.
Heard of it, haven't played it, so. I'm 4 for 4.
I tweeted out something last night on the show Twitter that said something like, I got the music.
Yeah, but
for tomorrow.
You're not happy.
I'm not proud of it, some of it, but I got the music. This is one of the ones I'm not proud of. It's just really bad. You might understand why when we get to the whole theme of everything here. But anyway, wow. Welcome back to the show. I'm Scott along with RJ and Sarah and Matt as well. This is our pre-PAX episode that I'm not going to anymore.
I'm looking at images of this game, and I'm like, what?
Bad Street Brawler?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, it is. Yeah, special.
There's a lot of games that aren't fun to go back to.
Well, so. Just tough to go back to.
Yeah.
Is that Mattel made that?
Did that? Maybe. I don't know.
I'm going to lift this up now, isn't it?
I got some new numbers from Sony. They sold over 91.6 million PlayStation 4 consoles worldwide as of the end of 2018.
Wow.
This is according to themselves. So, you know. To give Sony's victory lap more context, this is an article on Polygon from... Oh, I hate that guy.
all right.
That guy or that site?
The site I don't mind. It depends on who's writing the articles.
Okay.
And I'm not very fond of this guy writing the articles. Mm. In fact, I may not even go any further unless I can get some hard facts on what he's written here.
Yeah, them game journalists don't have a very good name, do they?
Some of them don't.
Some of them don't.
And I'm not a fan of this guy. What I will say is that reading the article on this, it says the latest PS4 numbers show where the console game is in early 2019. I thought it was going to be a nice breakdown of, like, get some more numbers like we had last year or last week for the year in review.
Right.
Nothing like that. It is what he normally writes are opinion pieces. So I'm going to back out of that real fast. This is where show prep comes in, and I read the article before I go any further. Mm-hmm. Who do we have on the phone?
Soldier Boy.
Oh, okay. We'll talk to Soldier Boy. Hey.
Hey. I gotta share something with you guys. It's probably before you were born, okay?
Okay, go ahead.
Let me tell you this story. I lived in Panama City. I'm in the basement floor. Mom's going in different floors doing shopping, leisure suit, you know, during that period.
Yeah.
And I go downstairs, and I see this TV. And what do you think I see on this TV connected?
What year is this?
A year late, Leisure Suits. I'll give you a clue.
Oh, Leisure Suit Larry?
No. It was Pong.
Pong?
Pong.
Okay. Yeah, it was the first video game ever to be on a television.
Yeah, you mentioned Leisure. Oh, because of the time period.
During the time period where people wore Leisure Suits, yeah.
I thought you went downstairs and saw people playing in Leisure Suits, and I thought, what? So
Today, that would not. But back then, you got to understand the mindset and thinking and everything, you know. Because we were playing, you know, out in the streets, you know, and playing soccer, tetherball, and everything, you know, not in front of a screen.
Right.
And we come down there, and I see this little, and I mean, two little white paddles, a line drawn down, and a little beep, beep.
Yep. Yeah.
And with little paddles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I said, my God! I said, the world is completely changed that day.
How old were you?
Oh, my God. I must have been 10, 12. I'm 57 now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what's so cool about it was we later found out within the first 3 years that whatever that little paddle ball went through, it streaked through your TV permanently. You remember that?
It burned the image on the screen?
You ain't lying.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, you leave something on too long, and if it exposed you,
and you get a color TV, man, your parents are really pissed.
Yeah, in that day, we weren't aware of what screen burn-in could be because you didn't have anything to really run into
You didn't have anything staying on screen for hours and hours and hours at a time. Until
exactly.
Then. Yeah, exactly.
You know, and the next thing you know, man, we'd go out and our parents would like buy us a black and white TV that you could just burn in all day long.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't use it for anything else but Pong.
Exactly.
Yep. And I just can't, you know, you talk about all these games that are today and everything else, but that was the catalyst. Unbelievable. And like my dad, when he came back from Vietnam, we had this television, and I still have it in storage. And it should be in the Smithsonian Institute because of history, because it's the first remote control television. For example, when he came back from Vietnam, Magnavox, before it was sold to, I guess, China or the company, it was an American-made company, and you would have to go to a Magnavox store to get a television or a stereo system or a console, whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So my mom said, you know, first thing I'm going to do when your dad gets back from Vietnam. Hold on. Okay. And can you still hear me?
I can still hear you. Yeah.
Okay, good. And it was a remote control, and all it had was on and off button. It had six buttons. On and off, color hue, volume up and down. That was it. But it was the greatest thing. You know why? Because my dad didn't have to use me for a damn remote controller anymore.
Right, yeah. Get up and change.
Get up and change the channel.
Yep.
And when you hit those buttons, you hit them hard, too. It was a real firm click.
Yeah.
And that box and that remote controller must have been about 3 inches thick, six inches by 4 inches.
Oh, yeah.
It was a brick.
Yeah.
So he could hit you with it, get up and change the channel.
but again, I was there when technology changed, you know, because we take remote controls for granted all day long in your generation. But back then, you're like, wow, something shoots across, you know, the room, and I don't have to get off my rear end and change the channel anymore. This is great.
Yeah, well, see.
Turn the volume up. Turn it down.
I'm doing that with voice commands now.
Well, you know, some of the cars like Mercedes and BMW, have you seen it? They have hand gestures where you can control it, the volume up and down, swirl it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, yeah. So
hand gestures.
And what was the other? Well, I mean, just look at cell phones.
Yeah.
You know, and you've been through it as well, a time when You didn't, you know, and I don't mean to wax nostalgic, I guess. Is that what we're talking about here? Yeah. But because I would honestly rather not go back to those days where I didn't have a cell phone on hand, just for the amount of times it's come in handy for any number of reasons as far as emergencies or anything like that is concerned. Well,
I did for a living for almost 30 years. I'm an IT network engineer. Did for the city and the county. And, you know, and I'm A-plus network security plus through Microsoft certifications and about 30 years of experience. But I tell you, I only like technology if it actually doesn't alleviate stress or helps me. You know what I mean?
Because
sometimes now that we have the computers, you're supposed to do the work of 10 people. That's what they used to, you know, think. And it just got more stress and stress. The only thing I really can see that I love about technology is online banking. It rocks. Mm-hmm. I never had to stand in another damn line, move money, get money.
Yeah, no. I don't have to write. I don't have to write checks anymore as far as paying bills. I don't have to sit down during a night, a week, or something like this to go through the bills that I've gotten in the mail and write down, you know, write out the checks and get them stamped and ready to go back to the company. It's all on automatic systems, and it's all done over online. I mean, I had to set all that stuff up. Seriously, if I had to do my taxes back in the 90s, I wouldn't have done them. I would have gotten somebody else, and my parents did get somebody else to handle that stuff. But now I can do it. I can do it myself. So
it makes a vast difference, doesn't it?
Massive, massive difference.
Now explain to me another thing that technology's been a real helpful to you. Other than like online bank, that's mine. What would be yours?
Maybe one thing that technology has done for me
has enhanced your life, made your life less stress.
GPS from cars.
But I agree with you. I
don't have to pull out a map and try
Remember my dad used to fold that map up. Remember that paper map? Oh god,
fold it up in the glove box.
Travel plans. The first time my mom and I went to Europe, we had to call or send letters to arrange for the hotel. And now you can just do it all online.
And you can see at least where you're going, because sometimes you'd set all the arrangements up over phone and everything. You get there and you're like, wow, that doesn't even look like, what the hell? So what's yours? I got one more. What is your ease?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. RJ, do you have anything? Do you have
I'm trying to think of something. Technology's helped.
The fact that, you know, with the internet and my phone, I have the world of information at my fingertips.
It has made the world smaller.
You already said GPS was yours.
I mean, that'd be another thing. If I want to know exactly how tall the London Eye is, all I have to do is, like, you know, ask instead of trying to figure it out in an encyclopedia or whatnot. It's like, boom, it's right there.
I would say that for me and my job specifically is that I live in Prattville. I work in Montgomery. And when things go wrong here, I lived through this as well in the early 2000s. If something was going wrong, I would have to drive whatever I was doing in Prattville. I would have to stop it and drive up here to take care of whatever the issue was if I was available to do that. But now with a computer,
desktop remote,
I can log in from home. I can log in from my cell phone, regardless of where I'm at. It made my trip to Seattle, my trip to San Antonio last year, it made it much more peace of mind to know that it didn't matter what happened. I was here to take care of it if I needed to. This company does as much as it can to not get in touch with me when they know I'm on a vacation. But sometimes it happens, and usually that's when it's gonna.
Do you remember that Tom Hanks movie when he went into space? Was that Apollo 11?
Apollo 13.
13,
okay. And remember they had their little failure problems and everything? And they turned around, and I believe in the conspiracy that we never landed on the freaking damn moon. It was fake.
You believe that?
Absolutely. There's too many things.
Agree to disagree.
Let me tell you why.
Remember it doesn't matter. We did.
Remember they had that? Remember?
The world is not flat. Just going to throw that out there, too.
All right, Christopher.
We've gotten so far off video games, you guys.
Let me ask you a question. Remember they said in our cell phones that we have, ten times the capacity that Apollo 13 had that landed on the moon?
Yes. Yeah.
Now, I sure as hell wouldn't depend on that damn cell phone that I'm using right now to get my rear end and dexterity back from the moon.
Well, you don't have to.
Well, thank God.
Because we don't go to the moon anymore.
No.
But
except the Chinese.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I'm curious. Everybody's racing back to the SpaceX. Like, we're the last thing. I guess it was just because we wanted to race against the Russians and be the first at everything.
Yeah.
Well, appreciate you calling in.
Yes, sir. Sorry, we went off topic, but sometimes it's good to deviate and turn a little bit off course.
Well, I mean, like I said, Terry comes up after us.
Yes.
And, I don't believe that, but I just wanted to tell you about my Pong story because, you know, I'm 57. I still remember it like it was 9/11. I still remember the JFK assassination, and I remember when Soldier Boy saw Pong in Sears' basement.
Wow.
It ranks right up there.
Well, we appreciate you calling. Thanks so much, Soldier
Boy. All right,
guys. Bye-bye.
Take care now.
Okay, where were we?
If we didn't go to the moon, Russia would have said something.
It's perfectly fine to drop it.
No, I know. It is. Yeah.
Because
video games.
Back into the video game situation. The Division 2 is not getting a Steam release. Although, okay. The weird thing about this is that...
you still play it on Uplay.
Yeah. You still have to... is it available to buy through Steam? I guess so, if it's not going to be on Steam.
Yes, I don't know. I just got through Uplay.
See, the thing was is that Uplay was so... Ubisoft was so adamant about, like, buy our games
our stuff
on
our
store
system. Yeah.
That they remove things from Steam.
Yep.
They remove their games from Steam, and you can only use Uplay. And then
and
apparently
they
that didn't
them back in a little.
That like didn't go very well for them, and so they put everything back. But in that time, I guess I just got accustomed to not caring if it was on Steam or not. Is there a way I can play it on my PC? That's fine.
Yeah.
And so I'm still in that mindset of buy it off of Uplay, you know, and use the Uplay
launcher.
Yeah, use all of that to play the game.
I actually put because you could add non-Steam games into your Steam library, and I actually did that with, you know, because sometimes I forget, you know, that I have, like, Shadow Complex on the Epic launcher, right? Or I forget exactly what I have on the Uplay launcher. So I've added those games into my, you know, Steam, even though they're non-Steam games, mm-hmm. though you could still launch them through Steam.
Hmm.
Shadow of War, that's in the Microsoft store or the Microsoft game whatever thing. Mm-hmm. That's how I got that, and I totally forgot that I even had that installed for the longest time because I just don't see it. Yeah. You know,
well, it doesn't matter to me either. So I suppose it's a big deal. Maybe it's a big deal because this is Epic, you know, flexing their muscles to Steam a little bit, kind of bowing up to him or whatever to kind of be like, hey, don't push me around. We've got the Division 2. And then they did something else just recently. They changed their refund policy to match Steam's refund policy. Really, Epic's store seems to be saying, I can do anything you can do, you know,
mm-hmm.
but maybe better. I don't really know. So far, I haven't really... Giving out free games is better than anything that Steam does. Although I think Steam right now, what is it, Stories About My Uncle, I think is completely free now on Steam. You could have gotten it through Humble, but now
I got it through the Humble, yeah.
Well, now it's free to own on Steam. If Steam moves into that realm and says, sure, we'll give away two free games a month, you know, something to... I know, it's only going to be a win for us.
Exactly. I don't even care if it's something I want to play. It's still like, all right. I mean, that's with the Humble stuff. Like, I've like, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, they updated their refunds policy to one that matches the terms of the Steam. It can see further down said that Epic Game Store will one day add user reviews. And developers will have to opt in to having reviews of their products on the storefront. But yeah, if you've got 2 weeks from purchase and less than 2 hours played, you can get your money back for any reason. So yeah, pretty big. Just looking here that, and plus they got the Walking Dead final season to be exclusive mm-hmm. to the Epic Games
Epic Store.
So you have to use that to play it as well. Where are we at? 24? You know, we can hit those two next. Oh, here's some numbers for you. The most downloaded games
mm-hmm.
on the PlayStation Store in 2018. Let's see. The most downloaded PS4 title for 2018.
Spider-Man.
No.
Oh. God of War.
No.
So
far, you haven't... So far, you've listed number 6 and number 5, if that gives you any indication.
Oh, 6 and 5. Wow.
Yeah. Number 6 was Spider-Man. Number 5 was God of War.
Horizon?
That's not... It didn't even make the top 10.
Okay. Is it a sports game?
Yes.
That's FIFA.
FIFA 19 is the number one most downloaded PS4 title on the PlayStation Store.
It may not fit. Soccer isn't big in the U.S., but for the rest of the world, it's too huge. Yeah. So, yeah. Back to see that.
Uncle Elias says Fortnite. Fortnite did not make the list. In fact, the top 10 was Far Cry 5, Rocket League, Gang Beasts.
Far Cry 5?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was 5, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's just how, yeah.
All right. FIFA 18 was number 7.
So FIFA was in there twice.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man and God of War, 6 and 5. Grand Theft Auto 5 was number 4. All these have numbers in them. Red Dead Redemption 2 was number 3. Call of Duty Black Ops 4 was number 2.
So FIFA. Rocket League's the only one that doesn't have a number on it, does it?
Gang Beasts and Rocket League and Rocket Spider-Man League. And God of War.
Okay.
But other than that, what the Romans
still,
ever done
for
us?
Still, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that's 6 titles. The most downloaded PSVR titles... number 10 was Arizona Sunshine. That's a zombie shooter. Number 9 was Rick and Morty. 8 was Moss.
Okay.
Number 7 was Robinson the Journey. Number 6 was Astro Bot Rescue Mission, which I've heard great things about.
All right.
Number 5 was Batman Arkham VR.
That's all right.
It's for sure. Yeah, for an opening title to enjoy VR with, it was fantastic.
Just, that's a good introduction to here's how you do it.
Mm-hmm. Elder Scrolls 5. Super Hot VR, which is another really great VR title. Number 2 is Job Simulator. I don't understand that game. And number 1 was Beat Saber.
Okay.
So those were your most downloaded PlayStation games on the PlayStation Store for 2018. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we'll hit up this Activision thing if we can stop going off topic. And that's not due to callers. It's just due to the way
we like callers.
Go completely off topic. We'll hit the Activision Bungie split, and we'll hit the Gearbox stuff as well coming up in just a moment. Here is music. It's called Water City. That's the name of the track. The game is called Eye of Judgment.
Nope.
All right. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. RJ, do you know what this is?
Samba de Janeiro.
That is correct. From what game?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well.
No, I heard this on Dance Dance Revolution all the time.
Oh, okay. Sorry. This comes from Samba de Amigo.
Okay.
Oh, is that the ones with
the maracas.
Maracas, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, there's been like 3-4 remixes of this song on DDR throughout the years.
Anybody have any idea what our theme is? We had...
I got an idea, but...
We had... What do we have? Mario Paint.
Mario Paint, oh, Gyromite, Battle Clash,
I know. I got it.
What I think I got it.
It's going to be games that use a peripheral thing.
Correct.
Games that come with the peripheral, yeah.
That is exactly what it was. Mario Paint, you just use the mouse pad and the mouse.
What's the Brawlers?
Bad Street Brawler used the Power Glove.
I'm going to go with no, because nothing used that thing.
Two games.
The only thing that used that was the movie The Wizard, just to be like, look how awesome this is.
Like, you could use the Power Glove with I think almost any game.
No, you couldn't.
Well, no. I mean, it was ridiculous to use it with that. But they specifically made two games for it. And,
was
and
like
that was
the racing game where you're like, that they used in the movie?
Still the worst, most inefficient use of a peripheral was still, to me, still Steel Battalion. One game.
Yeah, I didn't have that. I could have done a lot. But
I don't want to say the worst use of peripheral. I mean, for in that game, it was best peripheral ever.
Yeah, but you couldn't use for anything else. For nothing else,
It was a $200 game that you could only use with that game.
But I want that controller like so bad plug it into my computer and just.
You look at it and you can instantly think of all the games that you could play with this that apparatus. But no, never did.
Yeah,
that was sad. That was really really bad.
I understand. What else did we have in there? We had Bad Street Brawler.
Judgment.
Yeah,
I Have Judgment used the camera for PlayStation 3. The Battle Clash used the Super Scope.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
From the SNES.
Just the modified space. Zapper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Gyromite used Rob. The robot. Samba de Amigo used the Maracas.
Yeah.
And if I'm missing any of them, let me know. But the next one coming up, and I really should have looked over this to and not put this one last, because it is the shortest of all the tracks. It's only 45 seconds long. Mm-hmm. And it's... Every single piece of music that is in the NES game Hogan's Alley.
Oh, with the Zapper Gun?
With the Zapper Gun, yes. 43 seconds is how much music.
What movie had Hogan's Alley in it?
Was it Hogan's Alley? No, it was Wild Gunman.
Was it Wild Gunman? I thought it was Hogan's Alley.
No, it was Wild Gunman.
Oh.
Yeah. Yep.
Young Elijah Wood.
I know what you're thinking.
Yeah.
Back to the Future 2.
Yep.
Yeah.
Same game.
Anyway, so yeah, going into the news that happened sort of at the end of the week. I mean, it's a pretty big deal that Bungie now has split with Activision.
Mm-hmm.
They get to the change here is that they get to keep their IP.
Yeah, unlike last time,
Bungie was an independent developer, and then they started working on Halo, and they worked on Halo. I want to say,
do they own the IP for Marathon still? I wonder.
I'm not sure. That's
a good question. That's kind of the Halo universe-ish.
It is, which is why I'm wondering if Microsoft obtained that.
Well.
Yeah,
because I loved Marathon back in the day.
Well, they released Marathon on the Xbox Live Arcade.
Oh, did they?
Yes, they did.
Okay, because I remember Durandal, back, wasting hours and hours in the computer lab in college.
Yeah, they were working on Halo, and then Microsoft had this new console coming out. And they
yeah,
bought
they
bought
them
Bungie.
Out.
Yeah,
because they were an Apple. They were making games for Apple.
Yeah.
For the longest time,
they gave them a money hat and said make this game
it's
for our system,
hard to
which they
pass
did.
Up money hats.
And then they became owned by Microsoft, and it was basically Halo, 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 Halo. Did they ever venture out from making Halo games? No. That's all that they were ever going to do when they were with Microsoft, is make Halo.
They did that one, I think it was a strategy game, with like Vikings or something.
This must have been pre-Microsoft
sure
times.
That. Yeah.
That's the case.
Pretty sure Bungie did something like that. I'll have to look up.
I mean, they've made other games before, but
yeah, they were
once
Halo
they were bought
5.
By Microsoft, all they were ever allowed to do was... Halo.
Yeah.
It's a lot like Naughty Dog is stuck in a situation. Well, I say that because they were able to branch out and make Last of Us.
Yeah.
If not for the success, I guess, of Uncharted or their ability to switch, their ability to make two games at the same time, they might not have ever gotten out of that rut. Although I'm not necessarily sure that they're out of that rut because now they're making Last of Us 2 and they're still, they're still doing that, but... It can put you in a situation to be successful like that because all you'll ever be told to do is the same thing over and over again. Mm-hmm. Doesn't give you a chance to branch out and do it. If your sales are successful, just like Halo was, Microsoft, that's it. We own you. Make us another Halo game.
We're going to stick with what's succeeding. We're not going to try anything different.
Yeah.
If it ain't
keep
broken,
making Halo games.
So,
Halo ODST was a fantastic game outside of the Halo, well, not necessarily specifically Halo, but at the same time, yes, it was.
Yeah.
But it was a nice little branch out for them to make, and it was one of the best ones that I enjoyed within the Halo area.
Yeah, so it had the name Halo on it, so there you go.
It was, well, it was still within the Halo universe. You were still doing that, but you didn't play as a whatever.
If it didn't have Halo, the name Halo attached to it, you think it would have been successful?
They'd have found a way to market it. Yeah, I think it would have been. I mean, it depends. I don't know. They could have said from the makers of Halo, it's this sort of game, whatever. I think Microsoft could have put the money behind it, but I don't think Microsoft was confident in that. I think all they wanted was make this. You're under contract to make us another Halo game. Mm-hmm. We don't want to make you another Halo game. We're going to want to make this game. All right, fine. We'll slap Halo onto it. We'll make it look like Halo. We'll put it in the Halo universe, but this is the game we want to make. And so, you know, they did that. I'm strictly speaking here from just off the top of my head. I've not researched this to know. But because of the departure that it was, where you weren't playing as the super soldier kind of guy, you were just playing as one of the regular Space Marines, that seems to be the departure that they were kind of sticking their feet in the water to test themselves to say, hey, can we let's branch out and make something other than Halo. Well, Microsoft didn't want us to do that, so let's put it in the Halo universe but keep making what we're doing. They broke free from Microsoft, though, at the expense of losing their IP.
Yeah.
They said, you can go.
But we're keeping this.
We're
taking your ball and going home.
And we get first right refusal to whatever you guys come up with while you're out there, you know? So they came up with Destiny, offered it to Microsoft. Microsoft said, nah, you're good. Go ahead. Find somebody else to do this. They found Activision. And that's when we got the Destiny thing. Destiny being a 10-year-long roadmap of what they were going to do.
10-year plan, yeah.
They are short two years from hitting that 10-year mark. I don't know what was going to happen at 10 years. Were they going to renew contracts? I don't know what was supposed to happen once that 10-year mark was going to hit. I'm not exactly sure. But they don't have to worry about it now. And for whatever reason, they got out of this thing with their game. In their hands. A lot of what I've read with this seems to think that this is a fantastic win for Bungie to get their IP. And should signal good days ahead for those who enjoy the game.
But you're skeptical.
I'm massively skeptical. Because
you're not the only one.
Like all the mistakes everything that's come... Most of the mistakes that I've run into in Destiny, most of the problems that I've run into with the game, they're not Activision's fault.
Right.
They're Bungie's fault. Which is fine. I understand they make mistakes and that sort of thing, but some of the big problems that the community has with Destiny, again, are not Activision's faults. They're Bungie's faults. We'll see what's going to change. I don't know. They were required by Activision every fall to release Destiny content. Now they are not. They can do what they want. I don't know what this. I don't know where this is going to lead or what it's going to do. Self-publishing, from everything I've read, is a horrible thing, or can be, especially as such a small studio as Bungie. And I know that sounds weird to laugh at. Bungie, small studio? They've been doing this.
No, they've been doing it under the umbrella of bigger studios.
Yeah, massively bigger studios and publishers and things like that. So... Plus, they had help with, what was it, High Moon and some other game developer that I'm currently drawing a blank on. They had help with that when they were working on some of the other expansions. High Moon and Vicarious Visions. Vicarious Visions did the, what was the last one? The Warmind, I guess, whatever it was.
Yeah.
The one on Mars. The one that seemed to be like, hey, this is nice. This is better than... Everything was better than Curse of Osiris. But, So I don't think they have that anymore.
Yeah.
So it is strictly on them to do. And I mean, we'll just have to see. They seem to be, from what I read, they were popping champagne and cheers whenever it was announced to the team that they were breaking away from Activision.
Yeah.
They were extremely happy about that. Yeah. Honestly, for me, if I was in that realm, I would be scared to death of it, but I don't work there. Because Activision is our money hat. That's where the money comes from. Yeah. You know? So
you expecting layoffs anytime soon?
No, not anytime. I don't know. They had an investment from a company called NetEase. I think that's in China. They got $100 million investment.
Mm, wow.
To them from this company called NetEase. And that's for a brand new game. So we'll see what's going to happen. I don't really know. It was surprising to read about, but it was surprising. It was not necessarily surprising. It was interesting to read comments from the community and things like that. A lot of, like I said, the majority of people are happy about this, excited about it, I guess I could say. Maybe not happy, but excited about it to see what's going to happen. They didn't think anything, they honestly didn't think anything good was coming from Activision at all.
Yeah.
And when I saw the tweet from, I think it was Activision when they tweeted that, the reply list, it wasn't Activision, it was Blizzard, who said that Bungie will still be on the Battle.net app for PC players.
Mm. Okay.
It'll still remain there. The thread on that one was, congratulations, Bungie, now Blizzard, why don't you do the same thing? It was nothing but, Blizzard, it's your move, your turn, do this. Look what they did, do this. Get out from under them. Apparently, fans of Blizzard are not any kind of fans of Activision whatsoever. There doesn't seem to be a lot of fans of Activision, from what I understand. Activision just went through a big shakeup with their CEO, I believe. Netflix nabbed their CEO or something like that. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. A
it's
higher
a CEO
up.
CEO or CFO?
It may have been that. It was a high up that Netflix grabbed and took away from them. They have lost the Skylanders. They don't do Skylanders anymore. They abandoned that. Mm-hmm. They just lost Destiny.
Under fraud investigation?
Are they?
That's what AC Ray's saying.
Activision is now under fraud investigation? I did not know this.
Was it Activision that had the... there was someone who was brought in there to cut costs. And as soon as she did so, she left and went to another job. Was that Activision as well?
I'm not sure.
Oh. I can't remember her name.
I do not know.
I'm going to have to look this up for a second. Because I want to say it was Activision, but I'm not too sure now.
Well, it does say the news comes during a rough time for Activision, which recently went through an executive shakeup and has been cutting costs at its biggest subsidiaries. While Activision's influence growing, Blizzard is cutting costs. It's just what I'm reading here. Their mega franchises have grown significantly smaller, having abandoned Skylanders and now lost Destiny. Apparently, the only thing they have is Call of Duty anymore.
Ugh.
And I don't think that's pulling in the numbers that it used to pull in, to be honest with you.
Which one?
Call of Duty, the whole franchise. It's not pulling in the numbers it used to pull in.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I'm not going to say it's getting into the realm of sports games, but more of the same content year
sane.
After year after year.
Yeah,
it's getting repetitive. And yeah, sports I can understand, because sports been played the same way for
years,
some hundreds of years, you know.
Yeah.
So
until they add new game mechanics to football, you get what football is.
Well, so AC Wraith sent us a link to that, and their claims on behalf of investor Activision Blizzard. Yeah.
Wow.
The investigation concerns whether Activision and certain of its officers and/or directors have engaged in securities fraud or other unlawful business practices.
Oh, good.
Wow.
Yeah, maybe now we know why they were cheering to get her out from under that one, because things could be getting bad over there.
Sinking ship.
Yeah.
Yeah, Activision had certain rules in place for Bungie.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them were usually things that, as players and fans, we don't necessarily like to hear. find more ways to generate revenue within the game.
Yeah.
But we're also not going to give you the funds to make new content, so just find more ways to generate more revenue. Look at this game over here and what they're doing. Do that, you know.
The focus, the solid focus is monetization.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Which it's going to be almost in any other, in anything that, in any kind of business.
Yeah.
They're going to want to do that. So, yeah. The stock for Activision Blizzard took a nosedive on the announcement of this. And
so it's a good time to buy stock. It'll be cheap.
Yeah.
No?
It's no surprise then that Activision Blizzard's stock price dropped dramatically after the news was made public. Investors were seemingly spooked at the idea of Activision Blizzard losing a revenue contributor. The company's share price fell by almost 7% in after-hours trading. With markets now open, this was an update. The drop has only continued. After closing Thursday at 51.35, it's gone as low as 44.67 so far this morning. Since that point, it's recovered slightly. It's a 10% drop. Expect this to continue fluctuating throughout the day. This was on the 12th, which is today. That's odd. I thought it's after hours trading. That's what it's talking about. So, yeah. The CFO left to join Netflix, while Blizzard's CFO left the company to take a new job at Square.
That's the lady I was talking about, Amrita Ahuja.
Yeah. So the Activision CFO left, and then the Blizzard CFO left.
Yeah, that's the one I was talking about. Who was cutting costs, and then as soon as that happened, she
CFOs are the what central
chief financial officer.
They're I think they're in charge of making making money. Sure that they make that the product makes money.
Yeah. I was about to say, would that have anything to do with why this investigation is going on?
Possibly.
To see those two pop out before this news from Destiny comes in and everything, like bye.
Wouldn't be surprising.
Yeah, gonna leave now.
If it does.
Yeah. Lethal Migraine brings up the Apple situation, too. They're down over, they lost a ton.
I mean, we get the idea that these folks are trying to monetize and make money for the things, but don't expect the folks to, the consumer, to continually buy into their product. I mean, if they just feel, you know, it's not for us, time to just back off and do something else.
I don't know. It's tough. It is very tough for me to... It's very tough for a company to get me to pay more than what I've already paid for a game.
Doesn't mean. Yeah.
If I buy your full price game, then the only thing else you could expect me to put money into is
like season pass?
DLCs, not DLCs, but season pass type stuff.
Mm-hmm. Which is just more game.
Yeah. More game. It's not you're not going to be able to
Horse
sway
armor.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to sway me with a dance emote. Or any kind of anything else, you're not going to be able to do it. I have just, for Destiny, I have not put in any more money than the cost of the game and the expansions and stuff.
A point for me with anything that I consume a lot where I feel like I have now gotten more than my money's worth, I should give you some more money.
I can see that.
So, like, books that I reread constantly, I'll go buy a new copy of it just because it's like, well, I've read this, the equivalent of what would wear out a library copy. Here's another, 12 cents in royalties. I'll throw some money into microtransactions and things like that if it's a game I play as much as I played Destiny. But it's not because I care about any of the stuff I can buy. It's just like, you have given me more value than I have given you money. Have some more money.
See, I don't feel that way.
I am unusual.
I see where you're coming with that. I was talking with Kevin the other night online and stuff like that about how the amount of fun and money's worth we got out of Ghost Recon Wildlands, because they have new content out for it now. I think season 4 or whatever.
New content though, right?
Yeah, but like I said, we bought it at normal price for it, but I'm like, we've been playing that thing for a couple years, and just continually, like I'd say, like we've so much gotten our money's worth and then some. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't mind I'll buy some, extra, pass, or extra content.
Yeah, it's like
we did get our money's worth. And I see where you're coming from.
It's like for me with Street Fighter V, when it initially came out, there was nowhere near as much content as we thought we was going to get. And then this is the first time I've ever had to buy multiple season passes with that game. 30 bucks a pop.
See, I think a season pass should just be once.
There
just
three
like
season
a one time.
So
You know, here's the season pass, boom. Mm-hmm. And you just get the stuff.
So the initial $60 for the game, and then the additional $90 over its lifespan for the season pass to get these other characters. Because, you know, to be competitive, you have to know
the characters.
Get them in there and start using them, see what they can and can't do, read frame data, things like that. And if you don't buy the season pass, you don't get the characters, you don't get the access to it, and you don't know what you're getting into when you go to a tournament and play against them. So you had that going for it. But like I said, it was the first time I ever had to deal with multiple season passes. So I was used to getting one, and then now I went to three. And that was and I thought that was a trend going to be going forward. But like I said, wasn't a fan of it. But like I said, Matt, if you get the most, get more fun out of it, it may seem worth it. But if you knew that, if I had known that price was coming beforehand like that, I probably would have backed off and wouldn't have jumped the gun, bought it day one. Just wait.
Yeah.
And see if everything comes out first for you.
I mean, this applies to almost any game, whether it's a mobile game, iPad, any console or PC, any sort of game. Mm-hmm. Once I give you the money for that game, mm-hmm. I am rare to give you any more money.
Yeah.
Unless it is for more game.
Yeah.
Not cosmetics, not anything that is, you know, well, cosmetics pretty much sums it up. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't relate to more game, I don't give you any more money.
Mm-hmm.
That's as far as I can remember. I've completely been that way with almost everything.
Yeah, that's your policy. Yeah,
I can't think of anything where I've thought I want that because it looks really cool.
Yeah,
unless it was free.
Yeah, I was thinking about the one with that reticle. Remember that article came out, reticle for $1.
Yeah.
That mess that came out. I mean, how far are they going to push it?
As far as they can.
I think they will push it as far as they feel they can.
If they can get money out of it, they will push.
Yeah. But the thing they were talking about was the fact that it was like a dollar, but the lowest denomination you can buy for that game was $5 worth. So you have to put in $5 to get that reticle if you wanted it.
There's been some really shady things for sale. When it comes to DLC and that sort of thing. Moving over to the Gearbox situation, we don't have enough time to really dig deep into it, but
there's some allegations.
The former general counsel of Gearbox is suing the CEO of Gearbox, and then the CEO turned around and sued the former general counsel of Gearbox. It is going back and forth. They are both being accused of violating their legal duties to the company. The suit against the CEO, Randy Pitchford, is it's got the accusation that he received a secret $12 million bonus as an advance against Borderlands profits. Wade Callender, who served as Gearbox's lawyer from 2010 to 2018, filed this suit on the 21st of December, accusing him of violating various contracts involving both Gearbox and a separate real estate company that they both owned, as well as his own employment contract. These allegations are absurd with no basis in reality or law, said a Gearbox spokesperson. We look forward to addressing this meritless lawsuit in court and have no further comment at this time. This suit was filed 1 month after Gearbox sued him in a separate case for fraud and breach of fiduciary duty. So, it's just one of those back-and-forth situations.
No one's coming out smelling like roses.
They said that they said Callender abused the privilege of credit card access by charging unapproved, wholly personal expenses, including family vacations, gun club memberships, and firearms accessories, and trying to get six-pack abs. Gearbox also accused him of destroying evidence of the home loan agreement that he made with the studio. The lawsuit alleges from Callender now to Randy Pitchford. The lawsuit alleges that Pitchford struck a deal in 2016 to receive a personal secretive executive bonus of $12 million to pay directly to him to an entity called Pitchford Entertainment Media Magic. By the way, Randy Pitchford, magician. I'm not kidding you. Dude loves magic. The bonus that they argue is an advance upon royalties that would otherwise go to Gearbox's staff. So this is going to go back and forth and back and fourth. It's a horrible, yeah, there's more to it than that. I'm going to post the link here in our chat room.
I feel dirty.
If you haven't read any of it.
You know?
Like
no good of this is going to come
out. It's like a
bad
divorce.
It gets wild, but then it's, it gets
wild
worse and worse.
We're talking about this in the chat room, too.
Yeah. Huh? What?
I said we're talking about bad divorces in the chat room, too.
Yeah.
Oh, that Bezos?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Let's see, what else? Callender's most lurid allegation against Pitchford is an accusation surrounding an event that occurred in 2014. It concerns the USB drive that apparently he left. He left, by the way, in a Medieval Times restaurant. which had sensitive corporate documents for Gearbox and its partners.
And other stuff.
Along with some...
Alleged other stuff.
Alleged other things that...
Like, just none of this is good.
I'm going to go into that. Several hours after the publication of this story, this is on Kotaku, Ars Technica tracked down a magic podcast. A podcast about magic, not a...
The game? The Gathering?
A magic podcast. Woo. Which Pitchford had appeared last year in an episode that went live on December 22nd of last year, which is one day after the lawsuit. Pitchford told his version of the USB stick story for the first time. Okay, I'm not even going any further than that. I can't go any further than that. I can't even talk about that. I can't talk about that.
Yeah.
I actually can't say some of those things on the radio.
Nope.
So I'm not going to. With that, we're going to wrap it up and be done. Because I've only got 43 seconds of Hogan's Alley music to play. So I appreciate everyone coming. Matt, I'm so sorry I didn't bring the VR. Sarah, I'm so sorry
I'm not
going to PAX South with
you. It's okay.
I am so sorry about that. I hope
RJ, you're good.
Yeah, yes, I am.
Be good, RJ. I hope you have a wonderful time in San Antonio.
Thank you.
Without me, how? I don't know that you will
I
have
know,
a wonderful time without
me. It's
going
to be devastating, but I will soldier on.
Have a chicken fried steak in my honor, or I know you won't.
I won't do that.
Or
have 30 pounds of cinnamon roll.
Yeah, a cinnamon bun is fine. You can do that.
If not, we'll just mail order the thing.
Yeah. I could just leave all my clothes, bring one back in my suitcase.
Yeah, Random X says that's rough. That's exactly right. We just went through a split with Activision and Bungie, but at least we're not Gearbox, right?
Yeah.
Not playing a Gearbox game. Anyway, everybody have a wonderful time. We will be back next week. Here is music from Hogan's Alley. See you next Saturday.
Woo-hoo.